Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on this 16th of January 2016, as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram and follow me at Riddle Gerald Quinn. And we begin, of course, with the league, where no contract is guaranteed, a divisional playoff weekend considered by many, and including myself, to be the best weekend, NFL weekend in all of the year, as you will now have the teams, the top dogs coming off the shelf and getting into the playoffs. As we saw a okay wildcard weekend, a couple blowouts, then we got some excitement on some craziness, last Saturday. But I expect this weekend to be everything but boring as far as these games go. It's a lot of even matchups and a lot of injury. It could be some injury dictated results. There are a number of key injuries going into some of these games. When you look at Green Bay, Devontae Adams, Sam Shields possibly could be out again. Pittsburgh, you have Brown and DeAndre Williams have already been ruled out. And a couple guys who are coming back who you just don't know what to expect from, whether it's Amendola or Julian Edelman or Brian Bulaga or Bakhtiari, the two linemen from the Packers, who they desperately need in the lineup as they face a swarming Arizona defense that last time they played against the Packers had like 9 sacks. So, Peyton Manning, who knows what he looks like coming off, of course, that Week 16, the Week 17 victory in which they clinched a home field advantage. But, again, that was for one half. It's a bad San Diego team. Pittsburgh can't cover anybody, but they have a pass rush. Had one of the best pass rushes in the league. Pittsburgh was top 5 this year. Matter of fact, Pittsburgh was ranked third in NFL in sacks. So their front 7 can stops the run and can sack and can get to the quarterback. So again, you have a divisional playoff weekend where the separation, and the thing to me that stands out, the separation from the top teams versus the wild card teams is as small as I've seen it in a long time. I mean, New England's going to go into this game in Kansas City with a number of question marks. In terms of how they finish the season, in terms of the injuries, in terms of stuff that's going on off the field with the Chandler Jones situation, smoking some bad weed, basically. I've never seen New England go into a playoff season with this many question marks. Denver, again, what does Peyton Manning look like? Which Peyton Manning are you going to see? Is he 60% healthy? Is he 70% healthy? Where is he at? Where is the Denver running game at? Arizona, can they get over the hump? They have a healthy Carson Palmer. Went 13-3 this season. Many people regard him to be the best team in all of football, the most complete team in all of football. Can they get back to another Super Bowl and win a championship? Against a Packer team that, played well against Washington, but you have to see it for a second straight week to agree that the Packers are completely back. Carolina comes in, best record in football, 15-1. The more, the MVP of the league, it hasn't been official, but he's going to win the MVP of the league in Cam Newton, a team that recent playoff memories have struggled in the divisional round. A lot to prove. A lot of people don't believe in Carolina. A lot of people say, hey, weak schedule, quality record, Seattle, you know, Seattle's champion, has a championship pedigree. A lot of people like Seattle in this game. So, again, the top seeds, you know, kind of like, you know, don't kind of feel like top seeds in a way. I mean, the top seeds, is the gap is not that big between the top seeds and these wild card teams coming into this weekend. 347-215-6180. Just getting started here on this latest edition of 12 and Sports Talk Features with Cyril Gerald Quinn. Podcasting episode 499. Of course, we will have our 500th podcast Monday night. Stay tuned for Monday night. That will be coming Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Looking forward to that. With Chad Quinn, Rob Sapp, and we'll definitely have some fun with that. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. A lot to do on this busy sports weekend, this busy Saturday. We'll be right back. Is a call number as we discuss the world of sports, NFL Division of Playoff Weekend. We'll get into some college basketball later as well. I know as we coming upon that natural transition from the NFL to college basketball, but still a few weeks left in the NFL season. We'll talk teams moving to Los Angeles, of course, San Diego. I mean, St. Louis, San Diego got approved. The Raiders are going to be stuck in Oakland. They're going to be stuck in Oakland more than likely. I don't know what they're going to do. So we'll talk more about that and some NBA basketball. Big week in the NBA. Big next couple of days in the NBA in regards to Cleveland and Golden State and San Antonio. Couple of headlines from today. This morning, Chris Davis re-signs with the Baltimore Orioles. 7 years, $161 million. Couple of other big free agents that are still on the board as far as the baseball goes. Cespedes, Upton, and a couple. Cespedes, Upton to note. Also, you got Giovanni Gallardo. The pitcher is a very good pitcher. Would be a perfect number three starter on a good team. You know, only 30 years old. You know, has a pretty good overall record. For the years that he pitched, especially in Milwaukee, he's still on the board. So you still have some free agents that in baseball and haven't been signed. I wonder, you know, Cespedes is very interesting because there's a possibility that the Mets could get him, you know, not for, basically, I say maybe for 80 cent on the dollar. I mean, the Mets might catch a break and get him for a much cheaper price than he would originally cost. We'll see how that works out. Tony Stewart confronts a fan, you know, and confronts a fan in the stands at a race. The fan said some things over social media, I don't know, I think it was Twitter or whatever, about Tony Stewart. I don't know why, if you're Tony Stewart, why you're getting involved in that, and why you, like, clearly he didn't see, you know, what happened to what transpired in with Detroit and Indiana about 10, 11 years ago. We know Tony Stewart can be a nutcase sometimes in his temper, but I mean, you can't go on the stand and confront a fan about what he thinks about you. I mean, why do you get Tony Stewart? What do you care about what a fan thinks about you? It's a fan. Seriously. Again, Tony Stewart really has never been wrapped too tight anyway, so that, I mean, he's been known for his temper over the course of his illustrious racing career, but I mean, confront the fan about what, like, which. What do you think the guy's gonna apologize? What do you have to win? What do you have to gain by going up and confronting a fan? In terms of the NBA circles, the Nets, of course, have interest in Tom Thibodeau. I have interest in Holly Berry, but does it mean it's gonna happen? No. Like, this is one of the worst run franchises in the NBA right now. They are absolute shit. The owner doesn't have a clue. He's a guy who's rich and likes and rich and flamboyant. He just likes, you know, he wants his name in the back pages and wants to be on television. They are like, again, that organization right now, if you're any coach of note, and I'm getting, they're only 30 jobs in the NBA, so all of them are special. There are only 30 of them, but your time to go, there's no way, you even think about that job. There's no, like, you don't even, like, unless they're giving you part ownership, there's no way I would even look to that job. Especially in the NBA where guys get fired, like, weekly. I mean, and good jobs, I mean, you're going to have some good jobs that can be open by the end of the year. Certainly, that Houston job could be open, you know, at the end of the year. I mean, there are a couple of jobs that can be open that have more, you know, Lakers job could be open. So Tom Thibodeau has plenty of options. He has plenty of options, and he can just wait. He's not going to does not have to take the first thing smoking if you're a coach of his caliber. And that, again, that Brooklyn job is a just utter just is it's a disaster right now. They don't have. Not only are players aging, they have no draft picks for the next couple of years. They have nothing. Nobody's going to want to come there as far as free agents goes. That job is, you know, good luck with that. Good luck with that franchise for the next three or four years. They're going to be bad for the next 4 or 5 years. And there's no end in sight in terms of them getting better anytime soon. Especially under with Prokhorov, it's just. I mean, sometimes guys buy teams and come to the league and just don't have a clue what they're doing. They say dumb stuff like, hey, we're going to win a championship within 2 years, some place like that, and just like, okay. But that, again, there's no way Thibodeau, I think Thibodeau would even entertain that job with that owner. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of Southern Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back with the NFL coaching, and much, much more in this latest edition of Southern Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. The 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of 12 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Most of the coaching vacancies have been filled. I think Tennessee still, you know, trying to figure out what they're going to do with Mularkey. The Doug Peterson to Philadelphia has not been made official, but that's basically a done deal. And when you look at what happened with all these coaches, You got what you thought you were going to get for the most part. Two or three highly touted assistants getting jobs, and a couple of retreads getting jobs. If you are a San Francisco 49 fan, and I know a couple of them, one, you know, co-host this program. You just wonder what you are absolutely getting into in regards to having Chip Kelly as your head coach. Chip Kelly, again, over the 3 years with Philadelphia, had a winning record, 26-21, won the division once, made it to the playoffs. Made it to the playoffs once, and of course that first year. But Chip Kelly leaves Philadelphia, you know, having basically decimated a roster with the moves that he made, and basically having a reputation not to be a player's coach, not to be the greatest manager of personalities in terms of dealing with players, which in the NFL, in professional sports, in any team sport, is probably people management is probably about, has become about 70 to 80% of coaching. I mean, of course, you got, X's and O's, game strategy, adjustments. Those are things that are always going to be a part of the fabric of coaching and something that you have to have in order to be an effective coach. But in today's with today's generation of players, with how much money that you have in sports, with the egos, with everybody, having to deal with the agents and the parents, and just having to deal with everything that encompasses of being a coach in regards to today's athletes, people management skills have to be, to me, near or at the top of the list. I mean, if you cannot manage, especially with a professional football team, when you have, you're dealing with a 53-man roster, different backgrounds, cultures, races, personalities. Again, if you can't manage people effectively, you can't make it. You cannot, you're not going to make it. That's all there is to it. And, to go from, again, San Francisco to me, Chip Kelly to me, I'm looking at a guy who, first of all, has flawed techniques from a football standpoint. The hurry up offense, tiring out his defense. So from that standpoint, he is flawed. But again, as a people manager, when players walk away from you, walk away or just despising you, and it's more than one, not just a couple, that says something. That says something about the coach, about the person. Yeah, and there were a couple guys on Philadelphia who defended Chip Kelly. There were a couple. For the most part, the players on that team, the players on that team did not respond well. Did not respond well to Chip Kelly. And you have a guy who leaves a job, after being stripped of his power. Listen, he got fired because he was stripped of his power to be new personnel, to make personnel decisions. What does that tell you? That tells you that he doesn't even acknowledge the fact that he made poor decisions from a personnel standpoint. So you want that guy coaching your team that doesn't acknowledge his mistakes? How is he going to grow as a coach? And I was reading a couple of things about coaches who had been fired from one job and who had done well in the second job. And one of the biggest things that they said, the reason why they did well the second time around, was because they had time. One of the biggest reasons, other than self-reflection and humbling and the humility of being fired, but one of the biggest reasons was because they had time in between jobs. They had time to catch their breath. They had time to, go back to the drawing board. They had time to, self-reflect. Chip Kelly gets fired on Monday and gets hired on Wednesday, basically. There's no – what time has he had to kind of sit down and say, hey, I need to change this, that. Basically, getting hired that quickly tells him, he's probably saying to himself, it was Philadelphia's fault. Look how quick I got a job. It's Philadelphia's fault. I don't need to change anything. So, if you're San Francisco, I don't know what the future is going to look like. First of all, they got their organization, Balky and York, you have to prove to me that they can win without Jim Harbaugh. It's showing to me that it's looking clear based on what happened this year and based on Harbaugh's success at Michigan this year that it was Harbaugh that clearly was the driving force behind the success of San Francisco, during that time. during that time that Harbaugh was coach there. Ben McAdoo to the Giants, no surprise there. Dirk Cotter to Tampa Bay, no shocker there. Doug Peterson to Philadelphia, kind of caught me off guard a little bit, but you have to remember Doug Peterson was Brett Favre's longtime backup, does have the Philadelphia connection because he played a couple of years in Philadelphia too. Knows Andy Reid, Jeffrey Lurie is familiar with him from that standpoint. Still, not a lot. The interesting thing about the Doug Peterson hiring is the fact that I never, him being the offensive coordinator of Kansas City, never looked at the Kansas City offense and said, whoa, we got to get this guy who's calling these plays. I think Kansas City offense has been good. It hasn't blown you away. So I'm very curious about that signing. As far as Dirk Cotter going with Tampa Bay, it's clear that Lovie Smith was fired in order to make Dirk Cotter the head coach. That was clear. And basically, if you're a Tampa Bay organization, you're saying that you don't give Lovie Smith any credit for the development of Jameis Winston, who had a great rookie season. He had one of the best rookie seasons of all time for a quarterback. So you give him no credit for the development of Dirk Cotter. And as a matter of fact, had a fear that Dirk Cotter would go elsewhere if you checked Lovie Smith on. So that's what that tells you. About how the Buccaneers were thinking in regards to that. Caldwell, very curious about Jim Caldwell staying in Detroit with a new general manager. I get that thing. If Detroit doesn't make the playoffs this year, you have to think that Caldwell will be gone. I'm surprised that the general manager does not bring in his own player. More times than not, when a change is made with a general manager is going to bring in his own coach. So I was shocked that Caldwell stayed on to be the coach. They kept Caldwell to be the coach of the Lions because, again, normally a general manager comes in, new general manager comes in, he's bringing in his own people. And that's all it is, too. He's bringing in his own people. So we'll see what happens with the Tennessee job. Again, the pickings are slim as far as these candidates go. There's not a lot of viable candidates out there. You have a couple of Super Bowl winning coaches who still possibly could be looking for jobs with Mike Shanahan and Tom Coughlin. So yeah, those guys are still out there. So we'll see what happens with those. We'll see what happens with that. But again, all the main jobs have been filled. Adam Gase, of course, going to Miami. Saw that last week. Some guys are going to stay put where they are. McCoy in San Diego. Garrett in Dallas, and also, of course, Sean Payton with the Saints. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk Feature. It's Real Gerald Quinn. When we come back, a big week of NBA basketball. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. Great game Thursday with the Cavaliers and the Spurs. 99-94. It was a high-level playoff NBA Finals. Had an NBA Finals type feel to it. Of course, the Spurs, as expected, continue their home dominance. Cavs played well, for the most part, hung in there. And the Spurs, with the Spurs pulling away late. A couple things to stand out. Number one, the defense of Kawhi Leonard and where Kawhi Leonard is now as a player. The guy, he's a complete package right now as a player. And is a legitimate, an absolute legitimate MVP candidate. He's going to win Defensive Player of the Award, Player of the Year Award. You can give him that right now. And that race is over with. But him as a complete player, he, you know, the knock on him for a couple of years was that he lacked aggression. And he really kind of lacked confidence in his own ability based on the fact that he was just not aggressive enough as far as not so much taking shots, but just attacking the basket, taking control, you know, wanting to take over a game. Those are things that, you know, he was not doing. And I think that changed in that finals in 2014 after game two, when he just took over that series and the Spurs won going away. At worst, right now, at worst, he's the third best player in the world. Like, I would put, you know, Curry, LeBron, Kawhi Leonard. I would put him ahead of Durant, put him ahead of Anthony Davis, put him ahead of Paul George, whoever you want to throw into that conversation, Russell Westbrook, whoever. He is the third best player in the world. Charles Barkley said something, and normally Charles Barkley just makes outrageous statements just to draw attention to himself, but he actually has some, this one actually was legit, that if you're starting a team right now, he would start it with Kawhi Leonard. They say he believes he's the best player in the world, and he also says he would start his team with Kawhi Leonard. I don't think he's the best player in the world, but I'm telling you right now, I do agree that if I were starting a team right now, based on age and potential, remember, this guy's only, you know, Kawhi Leonard's only 23 years old. Only 23, 24 years old. I think, you know, based on what I've seen out or haven't seen out of Anthony Davis, who you thought would be the guy, who we thought would be that guy, I think you have to probably take Kawhi Leonard in terms of if you were starting the team. I mean, the guy, even again, he is the prototypical player, 6'7", you know, 220, 225, that can guard multiple positions and that do it all play on the perimeter, that can score, shoot. So he's that guy, you know, you have a LeBron. Think about the perimeter players that he can go up, that he can guard. Not just LeBron James, Kevin Durant, a Paul George, a Klay Thompson, even some of the bigger point guards. And he can guard anywhere from three to four positions. That type of guy on a team is invaluable in the NBA. And to have a guy who can do that and can score 20 points a game, you got 20 points and gets you 7 rebounds, and you don't make those guys, again, you have him, Paul George, and Jimmy Butler, to a lesser extent, who are kind of in that category, and of course LeBron, that can, you know, that do-it-all guy who can also guard multiple positions. That is a very, very valuable asset in the NBA, in today's NBA game, with the way the game's being played, with the small ball, and stretch for and what have you. So, great NBA game with the Cavs and Spurs. Cavs are still playing well. Had an easy win over Houston last night. Went 5-1 on his road trip. Cavs, of course, play Golden State on Martin Luther King Day on Monday at home. So they'll try to avenge that Christmas Day loss. Golden State, you know, it's hard to knock a team that's 37-3. But Golden State, remember, right now, San Antonio is playing the best ball in the league. Golden State kind of been, you know, in a little dry spell here. I mean, they had the loss to Denver earlier this week, and you saw the value of Draymond Green, not what he means to that team with them losing to Denver. I mean, there's no – that guy is a legit top 10 player. He should be considered, also get some MVP consideration as well for what he's done over the course of the season. He is invaluable to what they do, especially defensively. I mean, offensively, they still have a ton of offensive weapons with the way Klay Thompson's playing, of course, Curry, Barnes, Iguodala, and what have you. But defensively is where they miss him the most when he's not in the game or if he gets hurt. So Golden State kind of been, you know, a little dry spell right now for them. And I say dry spell because they're still missing. Start out the season 24-0. They're 13-3 in their last six. I mean, 13-3, you know, it's not shabby. But San Antonio playing the best ball right now. Oklahoma City playing well. But Oklahoma City is a team that you will not trust until they actually go out there and win a championship in a big spot. Like, Oklahoma City, I know they're a very good team. You know they have two of the top five players in the world. But, you know, it's just something that is just missing with that team. They're beating up on bad teams. Of course, lost. I know they beat San Antonio. That was opening night. This is not the same San Antonio team. Have yet to play Golden State. Lost to Cleveland when Cleveland had no Kyrie Irving. So keep that in mind. Again, if you're San Antonio, you know that rate. If you're San Antonio or if you're Golden State, you want to finish number one because you don't want to have to play. You don't want to play Oklahoma City in the second round. The number one seed in the Western Conference is going to have one tough playoff series to get to the finals. One. And that will be the Western Conference Finals. If you're a number two seed, you're going to have two. So it would be a big difference between being number one and number two in the Western Conference. Obviously, some bad news for the Chicago Bulls. Noah gets hurt. Last night with a shoulder. Who knows how long he's going to be out. More importantly, that just kills his trade value moving forward. I mean, you can't now. They're going to be stuck with him for the rest of the season, so they're going to have to move. More than likely, you're looking at Taj Gibson being moved. Nobody's taking Joe Curran Noah with a bad shoulder. So I think that Gibson will be moved. Very interesting. A couple nights after Jimmy Butler drops 53 against the Sixers, he has 4 points against the Dallas Mavericks. 4 points on 2-for-11 shooting. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12 on Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. We'll get into the move to LA. We'll talk about that and much, much more. Still have NFL picks on this next edition of Charlie and Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number. Interesting week in college basketball. Yet Iowa, for the second time this season, taking out Michigan State and took them and beat them convincingly. Beat a healthy Michigan State. First time they beat them without Valentine. Valentine played the second time, and they still, well, they were up by as much as 25 points in that game. Just destroyed Michigan State. Maryland's playing well. Oklahoma, of course, you know, had a chance to be number one. West Virginia beating Kansas. West Virginia had a chance to beat number one, number two in the same weekend. In the same week, they beat Iowa. Excuse me, they beat Kansas earlier in the week. So they're playing well. Really, again, with the college basketball, the tournament is going to be wide open. There's nobody out there that is going to run away with it as far as there's no Kentucky. There's no team that's dominant in college basketball this year. The tournament is going to be all over the place with upsets. I mean, this is a tournament. This is a year where you could have no number one seeds in the final four. It's going to be that type of year. Again, a couple of the top teams are playing well. Again, Michigan State, Maryland's playing well. North Carolina is playing well. You see Duke get beat by Clemson. Clemson, who's not a top team, has had a couple of good wins, beating Virginia and also Louisville in ACC play. But overall, you're going to have a number. The NCAA tournament, you're going to have a wild NCAA tournament because the teams there's just no dominant teams. There are absolutely no dominant teams in college basketball, this season. As far as San Diego and St. Louis moving to L.A., listen, money talks. I feel bad for the fans of St. Louis, but the bottom line is Kroenke had a plan. He, bought the property in Hollywood Park, about 2 years ago, And there was no question when you bought that, when you bought that property, what the plan, what his intentions were, that he was going to find a way to get that team out of St. Louis and out of St. Louis and to L.A., knowing that the NFL wanted a team in L.A. So you have to give Kroenke credit. He had a plan. They're going to have a stadium in 2019. They'll play in the Coliseum for the next couple of years. San Diego has a year to make a decision on what they're going to do. They want to move to L.A., but the problem is for San Diego, San Diego does not have a strong base, does not have a strong fan base in the L.A. market. And more importantly, San Diego does not have a stadium. Like, they don't have a plan. I mean, like, what is the plan for the stadium moving forward? Again, St. Louis, Kroenke planned this thing from, where no stone was left unturned. Like, this was going to happen. St. Louis was going to be in L.A. The Raiders don't have a plan. The Raiders don't have a clue. San Diego, who got approved to move, I just don't know what they're going to do moving forward. Now, it's kind of like moving somewhere with no job and no house. With no job, no place to stay. What are you going to do? What are they going to do? And again, that's why I think the NFL is giving them a year to kind of get their stuff together. We'll give you a year to sit on this, to kind of think this, to kind of develop some type of plan of a stadium, money for a stadium, how stadiums going to get paid for, things of that nature. I understand that the NFL wanted a team in L.A., but this idea that the NFL needed a team in L.A. is a bunch of garbage. I've never in the last 20 years of going to an NFL season saying, man, I wish there was football in Los Angeles. Never. And I don't think most NFL fans care, even NFL fans in L.A. care about football in Los Angeles. I really don't. So, again, you're talking about two franchises, San Diego with the Chargers and Rams, who have not had a ton of success as franchises over the last decade. I mean, it will not take a lot for those fans to lose interest. It won't. You'll have the initial excitement, football back in L.A. and what have you. But I'm telling you right now, a couple of 4-12, 5-11 seasons, and we'll be talking about. I guarantee you, we were talking about. Whoa, there's only 50,000 people in the stands. Where are they? They're not selling PCLs on you, so we'll be having those type of conversations. If those teams don't start winning football games, I guarantee you. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, NFL picks for a divisional playoff weekend. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this edition of Television Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. Week number 19 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. NFL picks for a divisional playoff weekend, the best weekend of the NFL season. We begin in New England with Kansas City, New England. The line is, of course, 5 points for a New England team that, in the Brady Belichick era, is 14-3 at home. But has had some home losses in this round. Twice they've lost at home in this round, once to the Jets and once to the Baltimore Ravens in the seasons of 2009-2010. And you know what? I think this is going to be home loss number four. I like the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're catching New England at a perfect time. I think New England is banged up. I think New England did not play well down the stretch at 2-4. Now, a lot of people want to say they were playing possum. Okay. I mean, you could, I could kind of see that. But the bottom line is you have a Kansas City team that, to me, has nothing to lose. At this point, they have nothing to lose. They've overachieved as far as their season goes. They've won 11 straight. They've gotten their playoff monkey off their back as far as not having a playoff win, you know, in 25 years. All that is done. They can just go out there, play loose, let the chips fall where they may be. Alex Smith is a quarterback who will not be intimidated by Gillette Stadium. Alex Smith, you know, a guy who now has won playoff games. He's played well in his last three playoff games. I think I like Kansas City 23-20. Again, I just think that, I think New England would be much more dangerous. If they were to get through this, I think New England would be almost impossible to beat in an AFC championship game, having a game under their belt. But right now, I think you're catching New England at a perfect time coming into this divisional round. Game number two. Tonight, of course, primetime NBC, you have Green Bay going to Arizona. The line for that is 7. Green Bay coming off their best performance in about a month, in about 6 weeks against the Redskins, had a big second half, got the running game going. Aaron Rodgers, and they, you know, were able to take out the Redskins 35-18. A little different animal here with the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona, of course, got embarrassed by Seattle in week 17. They're probably looking at Chacho the last 2 weeks. They beat them 38-8. I don't think it'll be that decisive as far as this game goes. That was an avalanche type game. The Green Bay offensive line was in shambles. Arizona was playing at a high level. I think this will be a very competitive game. I can see Green Bay being in for a half. Green Bay is going to get back to their linemen, Bakari and Balaga, which should help the offensive line. I just think Arizona is the best team in football, and I don't see Arizona losing to Green Bay in this round. I like Arizona 34-24. Again, it'll be much more competitive than the first time they played, but I just think Arizona has too much firepower, too many receivers, especially if Sam Shields doesn't play. Green Bay has zero chance to win this game. Green Bay needs all the quality cornerbacks they can have to deal with the weapons that Arizona can pose with their wide receivers. So I'll take Arizona 34-24 in tonight's game. Tomorrow you have Seattle hosting Carolina. Carolina hosting Seattle. The line is 2, basically it's a pick 'em. I like Seattle's experience in this game. I thought Seattle surviving that defensive struggle in freezing temperatures. I thought Seattle, you know, could have got picked off last week. I'm not in love with Carolina. I'm not in love with Carolina, to be honest with you. I think Carolina is ripe for the picking. I like Seattle in this spot. I like their experience. I like how Russell Wilson is playing right now. I think, again, this will be a very close game. I like Seattle's 20-17. I think Seattle matches up well against Carolina. I think 27-24. I think it'll be a very close game, a field goal type game, but I will take Seattle with the upset, if you want to call it an upset, 27-24. Game number 4, Denver hosting Pittsburgh, a beat up Pittsburgh team who will be without D'Angelo Williams and also Antonio Brown, and who has a beat up quarterback. In terms of Roethlisberger, we know he's playing with the bad foot, the shoulder. Pittsburgh has a tall order here going on the road in Denver, taking on that defense where they bang up offense. I think they could replace D'Angelo Williams. You do not replace Tony O'Brien. I mean, 1,800 yards of production, 136 catches. That's just something you don't replace. I like Denver in this game. I like Denver in this game, 20-17. The good news for Pittsburgh is Denver is not a big offensive team, and you don't know what you're going to get out of one Peyton Manning. So that, I think that alone will keep Pittsburgh in this game. But overall, I think Denver will wear out Pittsburgh, and I'll take Denver to win 20-17. So game one, I'm picking Kansas City with an upset. I'm taking Arizona to cover and to win over Green Bay. Picking Seattle to upset Carolina, and I will take Denver to take out a beat up Pittsburgh football team. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of Total Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the games. I'll see you next time.